As Pastor Bob said, we've been talking about this for a long time. I just want to tell you, sometimes we don't realize in our lives who is with us. And I say this very sincerely. Pastor Bob is a pastor's pastor, and he is extremely well respected among pastors. He is a Greek scholar. So I'm not going to be using any Greek words today. Just check with him. I'll tell you, there are times when I've had to go to Pastor Bob because of things in my life that have been difficult. And he's always told me straight. You know what I'm saying? No little sugar coating. Grow up! that's right. He was. Many times. So, all right. I want to just share with you a few things the Lord has put on my heart. Is that all right? Pastor Bob said that as long as I get you out before 3, you'll be all right. Is that? Oh. In my church, they say, "Yeah, we're not going to be here, but you can go ahead and preach all you want, Pastor. It's all right. We're out of here." But the Lord gave me something, and that has meant a lot to me, and really I believe he wants me to share it with you this morning. If you have your Bibles, open up to Psalm 96. We're going to start there. I'm not sure where we're going to end, but we're going to start there. Not even there myself. I got this Gideon's Bible because it's King James, and normally I don't use King James, but I'm going to do it for this passage anyway. Psalm 96. All ready? Let's go. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his body arm have gained him victory. The Lord has made known himself. Am I in 96? Okay, the Lord has made known his salvation, his righteousness. He has revealed in the sight of the nation. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. Shout joyfully to the Lord of the earth. Sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp. And it goes on and it says, let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful, for he is coming to judge the earth with righteousness. Amen. I want to share with you a couple of things about this little passage. It says, the Lord has made known his salvation. In other translations, it says, the Lord has declared his salvation. Has declared his salvation. That word declare, I want us to look at it a little bit this morning. Because if the Lord can declare, and his declaration is over us, we need to understand a little bit what that means. Because if the Lord has declared over us, guess what? We are in the process of declaring ourselves. So I want us to understand, a few weeks ago, we celebrated July 4th, the Declaration of Independence, right? And during that time, if you go back in our history, that first Continental Congress, 56 men, and coming together, Thomas Jefferson was coerced to actually write it, but they had great faith in his ability to write, and you'd think, well, he must have wrote it, they voted on it, and it was done. Oh no, there were over 80 changes to the Declaration of Independence. But when they signed their name to that, when John Hancock, first signature, signed his name and all of the others that followed, at that point it became the Declaration of Independence, you see. You see, there's a few things about a declaration that we need to understand before we can go forth. Now, I don't know, I would assume most of us are born-again Christians. Is that correct? We know the Lord? Anybody know the Lord here? Amen, amen. That's good. Because as born-again Christians, we declare that the Lord Jesus died on the cross for us. He saved us from our sins. He baptized us in the Holy Spirit. Tell him I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled, and fire-baptized. And we declare those things with our lives, but there's so much more. You see, in order for it to be a declaration, there has to be of one accord. There has to be agreement. It's a personal declaration. You can't declare for somebody else. I can't declare for Sandy. I can only declare for me. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So my declaration is for me. And what it takes is someone who comes forth, sets themselves apart from the crowd, and comes forth and makes a declaration. See, we come together, and it's great to be in a church, and I love my church. We're like in each other's business all day long, you know. That's the beauty of a small church. It's also the curse of a small church, but we're in each other's business all day long, you know. We love each other. We know what's going on, and we're praying for each other. Beautiful. But you see, the thing is, there comes a moment when we have to stand up and declare what we believe. You know, we live in a society that is so politically correct, I'm telling you, it just makes you sick sometimes. And I tell you, I'm on the Southington Town Council. I've been there 20 years and sat in the mayoral seat for a long time. We as Christians, we need to stand up individually and declare what we believe. We're always so afraid. We're afraid that people are going to think we're weird. They already think we're weird. You mean to tell me when you tell somebody you go to this church, they don't say, "Oh, come on. It's over. They already think it. Too late." So the whole idea of a declaration is that you separate yourself from everybody else and say, "I'm a Christian. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he died for my sin, for all the sin that I ever committed and ever will. I believe that he died and was buried and rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of the Father." We declare that in our lives. We got to get off that politically correct seat that so many people are on. People are dying because they don't know. They haven't heard. At one time, we used to talk about, we got to go, the equator line. Remember that, Bob? That's where we need to, the 1040 window. Thank you. See, that's why they know so much. I know. So, but we got, at one time, we said, we're praying for the 1040 window. We got to get some evangelists down by the equator so that Jesus will be preached. You know what I got to say is that we better start worrying about right here in Wolcott and Waterbury, Southington, Berlin. I'm telling you, there are people around us who don't know. How are they going to hear unless you man up and tell them? You understand what I'm saying? We're so worried about stuff. We don't want to seem crazy. We're already, you tell somebody you speak in tongues, and let me tell you, they're going to think you're nuts. Oh, you do. You know, I was injured in the line of duty. I was a probation officer for many years, and the state was looking, because it was in the line of duty, I had to go to all these different doctors. One of the doctors was a psychiatrist, and so I'd never been to a psychiatrist before, So I'm praying outside, and I'm going, "Oh, Lord, I don't know, Jesus. This is strange. I don't know." But I had to go, so I went to see him, and he said something to me, and I said, "Oh, thank God." And he said, he picked it up immediately. You know what I'm saying? I said, "Thank God." He was right there. And he said, "Do you talk to God?" And I went like this. "Jesus, please, Jesus. This is going to be a long session." You know what I'm saying? He picked up his pad. He's right. "So do you talk to God?" And I went, "Yes, I do." And he said, and he kind of got on the edge of his seat, You know what the next question was? "Does he answer you?" "Yes, he does." Do you hear him speak to you? Yes, I do. Is he talking to you now? Oh, yes, he's talking to me now. Well, what's he saying? And I looked him square in the eye and I said to him, he just said to me that his grace is sufficient in all of this and I don't have to worry about it. He said, did you hear him? I said, oh, yeah. I said, you know what? I'm done here. I'm done here, you know. If you don't have any other questions, I've got to meet a friend for hot dogs right now. So, you know. But you see, the whole idea is that the reason why the Lord has blessed us with this faith, the reason why the Lord has given us the power of the Holy Spirit, is that we would get up off our blessed assurance and get out there and tell somebody. Declare to the world. Let them know there is a Savior who cares. There is a Savior who loves them and wants to set them free, that there's deliverance. Do you know we believe in deliverance of sin and bondage? We believe in that, and we don't tell anybody. And we've got people struggling and having so much trouble in addiction and drugs. And, you know, in Southington, our police department carries Narcan with them. You know what Narcan is? Narcan is because we have so many opiate overdoses, they got to hit them with the Narcan to save their life. Do you know how many people are dying? And we know, and we don't tell them. Shame on us. God wants to set us free from that tether that keeps us hanging on and hanging on and hanging on and not going forward. There is freedom in Christ, and we don't have to worry what people say. We just have to be obedient to the Lord. I wrote down a couple of things. With a declaration, there is always consequences, always. You declare something, I'm going to tell you. The enemy's coming at you. Your friends are coming at you. You know, remember Noah. You know, what are you doing? What is rain? What are you doing, Noah, building an ark? The minute you declare, you're going to have opposition. You're going to have people that tell you you're going too far. You know, Vicki, I believe in God too, but I'm not walking around laying hands on people. Oh, good, because if you don't believe in it, I don't want you touching me. You understand? I don't need you touching me, buddy. But you see, there's always a consequence. So in that declaration, in that part of our lives where we stand up and let it be known that we believe, let it be known that there is a God who heals in our land, that there is a God who saves in our land, that there's a God who delivers in our land. As we're doing that, understand the enemy is not going to go easy on us. All of a sudden, there's no more money in the checking account. All of a sudden, you know, our kids are running around like crazy and you're worried about them. All of a sudden, things are going to start to happen. But we declare anyway, knowing that our feet are solid on the rock, that we don't just declare stuff standing on marshy ground or wobbly foundation. We stand on Christ, who is our foundation. And as long as we're planted and standing on him, we declare. You see, sometimes we get saved and we sit back and we just say, isn't that nice what God did for me? And the whole time is in getting you right is that you would get somebody else right through the power of Jesus. That's the whole, you know, do you know the circumstances we go through prepares us for the promise that is in front of us. You know, you mentioned it, Pastor Bob, about all of the things that we go through, all of the difficulties that we have to handle. And yes, sometimes our attitude stinks, but we go on knowing that we're still standing on the foundation. You know, we are socialized to feel insecure these days, you know. Ooh, ooh. Listen, we stand on a true foundation. And yes, there will be consequences, but that's still no excuse for not to declare. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the consequences are. Listen, I don't want to sugarcoat anything today. That's the call that we have. And if you're not there because you're scared of the consequences, you need to get with the Lord. You need to get prayed up. You've got to understand how great our God is. You have a very small image of our God. God says, where you go, I'm there before you. When you put your hand to something, I've already touched it. That's our God. We never go by ourselves. We stand in the power and the authority of God, the Almighty God, who brought some of you, my goodness, it's an amazing thing that you got saved. You know, I'll tell you, it was either jail or salvation, and the Lord blessed you. You know what I mean? That's how it was with me. It was either she's going to go to jail or she's going to get saved. Vicki, come on, come on, come on. I got a plan for you. And I went down. I didn't even know what I was doing. It was like, wow. And some of you, it is such a miracle. Well, all of you, it's a miracle. But some of you have come so far in God. Some of you, if you think back on where God has brought you from to this point, you can't stop here. You can't stop. You got to keep going. I was a Roman Catholic nun. Holy moly! Amen. Don't tell me there is no God.
Come on, sister.
Do you know what? I'm on my way to the convent. I hadn't even gone to the convent. I was going to the convent in 1 week, and my friend, who was also entering with me, are walking down this little street in Southington, where they had this little church. You know where I'm talking, Bristol Street. This little church. And we're all excited. We're going to go be a nun. Oh, we're so excited. I mean, a big C on my chest. You understand? If you're going in the convent, you have to be a pretty staunch Catholic. And there I was. And we're walking down the street, and we're laughing and talking, because back in those days, it was a full habit. One of these days, I'll show you a picture. Full habit, you know. No, not on this side of heaven, brother. And so we're walking by this little tiny place, and it's a Sunday night, and there's music and tambourines and trumpets and drums. And I stopped, and I said to my friend, what's going on in there? She said, I don't know, but we better keep going. She was going to be the good nun, you could tell. And so I said, no, wait a minute. What does the sign say? She looked at it, and she goes, United Pentecostal Church. I said, it's a church? She goes, yeah. She said, they call it a service tonight. So I said, oh. I said, well, what are they doing in there? She goes, I don't know, Vicki, but we better keep walking, you know? And I said, and I went over to the sign. I said, look, Wednesday night, there's a service. Wouldn't it be a hoot to go in? I want to see what's going on in there. She said, oh, no, we couldn't do that. We couldn't do that. I go, why? We'll never know. I'm just like the other one on her shoulder, you know? Come on. That Wednesday night, two good Catholic kids went into that church. She wouldn't let me go further than the first back row. And so we sat in the back row. We wore hats and gloves in those days. And that's what I had on my head. Hats and gloves on my hands. And we sat there. And we got there a little bit early. But it wasn't too early for Pentecostals. You know how you all are. And so they're praying in their seats like this. People, I didn't know what they were doing in their seats. I thought it was kind of odd, I must tell you. Their head is down there, and they're crying out to the Lord, and they're speaking in tongues. And my girlfriend leaned over. She said, if they touch me, I'll die. I'll just die. I'll just die. I said, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. And so then they start worship service, and they start worshiping God, and we're there, and I'm kind of enjoying it, you know. The music was uplifting, and it was quite lovely, and then this man that was sitting in the front row got up to the pulpit, and he saw these obviously two Catholic kids, and you know, it was Wednesday night. It was family night. You know how it is. Sunday we have everybody, but, oh, the diehards come out on a Wednesday night, right? And so there was just a few people there, maybe 12, 14 people in the church that night. And he looked out and he saw these two Catholic kids, and he walked off this pulpit and Kawasaki, Kawasaki, and he's praying. That's all I heard was, you know, Mitsubishi, Mitsubishi, Kawasaki, 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 right? And he got back to the pulpit and he said, I think the Lord would have me change my message. Open up your Bibles to John 3:16. Just throw the microphone down and walk away. You know what I'm saying? That moment, he preached salvation for those. Well, when he said, turn to John 3:16, the whole church erupted. Yeah, get the Catholics, get the Catholics, get the Catholics, you know. They all turned around like, hello, you know. I didn't know John from Luke, from Matthew. I didn't know what he was talking about. And he preached about salvation. I need to tell you that it was the first time I heard that it's by grace we've been saved. That it was a gift of God. I had always thought I had to do more. I thought if I did more rosaries, if I did more devotions, if I did more novenas, if I went to Mass every day, if I did all of that, then maybe God would find favor in me and maybe, just maybe, I could get in. But I knew the other part of me too, that was rotten to the core, you know? So rotten, every time I went to confession, I had to get a rosary because a few Hail Marys wasn't going to do it for me. That's true. At the end of the service, he gave an altar call. And I would have come forward. My friend's nails were embedded in my thigh. And she was saying, don't go, don't go, don't go, don't go, don't. So I didn't go. At the end of the service, he said, amen. She ran out the back door. He ran down to the door, and he met me at the door. And he said, hello. And I said, hi. And he said, he told me his name. I'm Pastor, and I don't remember his name. And I said, oh, I'm Vicky Turiano, and I'm going to go be a nun. And it was nice being here, just nice and done, and I'm on my way, right? He walked me to the car, and the pastor said to me, do you own a Bible, Vicky? And I said, oh, yes. I had never opened a Bible in my life. I just didn't want him to think I was a heathen. I didn't have a Bible in the house. I never knew about it. I didn't know. I mean, I went to church all the time, and they read from the Bible, but I didn't have a Bible. But I told him, yes, God, forgive me. And he said, well, if you have a Bible, will you make me a promise? And I said, well, sure, what? He goes, take that Bible with you when you go into the convent. I said, okay. He said, and we're still walking. He's walking slow, but that's all right, you know. Make me a promise. And we're walking like that. He said, now, Vicky, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible's divided into two parts, the Old and the New Testament. Go to the back of the book, the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Will you remember that, Vicky? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? And I went, yeah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Start reading in the book of John. Will you promise me? I said, yeah. Got home. Ma, do we have a Bible around here? A Bible? And I said, yeah, a Bible. She goes, you know what? She goes, I think I got one for teaching a class, a CCD class. Sure enough, I found a Bible. I opened it cracked because we never opened it, you know. It was just a hardbound book. It wasn't like one of our little leather Bibles, you know, hardbound. And I threw it in my trunk. 4 years later, I remembered the promise. When I left the convent, I went back to that little church. It was closed. The pastor was gone. I have never seen him again. Someone said someone who was there told me that he passed away of cancer at the age of 36 or 37. See, everything that he went through was for me. You understand what I'm saying? You understand how important it is that we stand, that we tell somebody. This kid didn't know even what he was talking about. When I got saved, I had to buy a children's Bible to learn the stories. I didn't know Abraham from Noah. I knew nothing. God had a plan. And he never said to me, you're going to pastor one day. Never. He just said, take the step. Stand on what you know. Witness what you can tell comfortably. But don't hold back. You know, when I got saved, we began a prayer meeting, and people were praying. Now, you know, in my family, Italian, great big Italian family and everything, my dad was police chief, and mom and dad had to go away for a couple of days, and so I invited all my friends to come over to the house to pray. So we're praying. I had already told my parents, you know, I love them, and that was the first sign that something was weird. And then I told them about Jesus, and my mother's question was if I was going to still be with the family on Christmas Eve, because that's a big deal for Italians. I said, I'll be there. So they were away, and I had just learned about the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit, you can take him at his word. And so we're praying, and somebody was having a problem, and one person said they might have a demon, Vicki. So I said, okay, we'll pray. But we couldn't pray in the group we wanted to take, so I brought him upstairs to my mother and father's bedroom because we wanted, doesn't that sound funny to somebody? So, no, it gets worse. Mom and Dad cut their vacation short, and we have them on the bed, rolling, right, you know, spitting like that, you know, in the name of the Lord, you know, and come out, come out. And then I hear this, Victoria? I said, oh, Mom. I go, well, she goes, could I see a friend? I go, not now, we're casting out demons. She said, on my bed? I just want to tell you that there comes a point when we're responsible for what we know. Would I have done it again? Oh, yeah. Sorry, Mom. When we declare, we bring a response from others, and we see controversy. We can see people that are against us and people for us. And yet we declare. And yet we declare. I want to tell you, I'm kind of keeping an eye on time, because I was just kidding about 3 o'clock. Another thing about declarations is, once they're made, you will never be the same. No matter what the declaration is, you have been changed. You may go back to your old ways, but you know the truth. Because you've made this declaration. You see, we stand back and we let others, we say we're shy. You're not shy. You've been given the Lord has given you a spirit of power, not of fear. I want to encourage you, because I had so much joy working with all of you ladies. We had a time, didn't we? And, you know, I hope to join you again someday. But I want to tell you that I know that this church is not a wishy-washy church. I know that what you're receiving from your pastor is strong, because I know him. I know what the Lord has brought him and Sandy through so much stuff that he cannot help but give you the deeper things. Never the low-hanging fruit with Bob Rulowitz, I can tell you now. So he'll clean up my mess next week, whatever I preach today. But I want to tell you, you have been given such, you know, I'm telling you, I was talking to Pastor Bob and Sister Sandy, and I was saying that we had a memorial service in the town for when Orlando happened, and I was in one of the pastors' study with six pastors, and I was the only Christian who declared that Jesus is Lord. The only one that says, you know, you must be born again. Where are those that will stand, that are willing for the Lord to change us? There is great freedom in this message, because we have been loosed. We are the one coming out of the grave. When Jesus goes to Lazarus and everybody's crying, you know, oh, Lord, if you had been here to heal my brother, oh, you wouldn't have died. And it was never Jesus' plan anyway. Jesus' plan was to raise a dead man, not to heal a sick one. Jesus has it under control. In your situations, whatever you face, Jesus has it under control. You might say, what are you doing, God? What are you doing? Lots of times I, what meaneth this, Lord? I say all the time, what is going on here, you know? Why am I here? It would be much better if Rulowitz was here, you know? Did I tell you he speaks Greek, Lord? You know, the Greek, let him talk that Greek thing. But I want to tell you, when Jesus comes, what does he do? He tells everybody to, you know, get back. And what does he do? He dedicates his next action, his declaration of life to Lazarus, for the glory of God. We are forgetting that the reason why we're here, the reason why we just took that breath, the reason why we have a seat in this body right now is to bring glory back to God. That we will reflect and come into the very glory and the nation of God. We are peculiar people, the Lord says. We are peculiar. You know why? Because we step out from behind all of the world and we have this individual relationship to God that's going to help us go forth strong and declaring things in the heavenly. Jesus comes. He says, God, you see all these people, Father? You see all these people? Let this be done for your glory. For your glory, God. The next time you're in a difficult situation, dedicate it to Almighty God and to His glory. Get it off, your eyes off yourself and put them back where they belong. Jesus did it all the time. He took nothing for himself. He constantly gave God the glory. And then he said in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Here comes Lazarus. All bound up, all round up. He comes forth. Loose that man and set him free. See what we're into? We're into making people free because of the glory of God. And our declaration echoes in the heavenly places. Today I want to encourage you. Just tell somebody. You got to tell somebody. God, that's part of our call. Now, you don't have to get your Bible and start thumping on it, because a lot of people say a lot of things, you know? But they'll see your life when you declare they're watching you, and you may not even realize it. Your children are watching you. Your grandchildren are watching you. The scripture says that our lives is like a book open and read of all nations. So make your declaration clear. Stand on the righteousness of God. Let your inside reflect on the outside. It's not some hidden little thing, but rather that if you are a city on the hill, there is a light that comes out from under the basket to illuminate the world. God bless you. I love being with you today. Go forth and praise God and tell somebody. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Love you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Pastor Bob, thank you so much. Amen.